Man, wow. Hi-Fi Dream, it's the deep dive. Man.
What a drop ending.
I'm going to tell you, certain songs, the nostalgia meter goes so high for me. Remember the song Who's Johnny from Short Circuit, Eldebar's song? Who's Johnny, she said, and smiled, looked the other way. It was from the movie Short Circuit, which you had to have seen, the robot.
Yeah, I think I saw it.
Johnny number five. Anyway, there's certain songs from that era. I hear them in my body, in my internal organs, and they all start like jumping and wanting to like dance.
Yes.
Because there's something so nostalgic about that
80s
sound.
You feel the warmth coming through you, yeah.
And I remember the feeling I would get listening to that New Shoes song on the radio as a kid, and it just sounded like it was larger than life coming through those speakers.
The tinny speakers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a boombox or something. And then buying the 45,
yeah,
and owning it, and that song had the A side was the single mix, this B side was a German mix or a German version, but it was weird. Maybe it was an import. But I still get that feeling when I listen to it now, 40 years later, from when I was a kid, you know, hearing it, even, you know, as I grew up and heard it on retro stations or something. One of my favorite 80s songs.
And it's so funky, but yet never was, it's not like so popular that it was overplayed that you're sick of it.
It's the perfect balance of just enough popularity and just enough obscurity.
If you know, you know, right?
If
you know, you know. And it sounds, like you said, it sounds so good on the radio. And I'm trying to think, well, why? What makes a song sound good on a radio, because radio frequency is so limited, like not much low-end bass back in the day. And I think what it is this song, so much of the what you like about the song, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, it's up in the mid-range. So the melody, the memorable parts of the song, you're going to hear that and sound good on a radio, and you could dance to it, and you're not missing out on much of the goodness, although it does have a good bass line.
It does. It's kind of hidden, though.
Do, 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 do. You know, and it's got that nice, like...
I'm surprised. You're an engineer.
Yeah.
So, not. I think people might know that from listening to this show. You don't know that processing on the radio is... that processing is what makes the radio sound good. It's not a flat, unless you're listening to a very bad radio station. Like XM, satellite radio, they don't have any processing. It's flat.
Yeah.
But radio, we have a processor, and it's dynamic. So when you turn that processor off, it sounds like a flat signal. Sounds like you put an equalizer right in the middle, right? Mm. There's no sound, no depth.
Okay.
And then you play with the processor, and it makes the bass come up. It kind of lowers the mid-range a lot.
Okay.
I guess that's partially going to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like kind of, because it can be strong in the mid. And it gives it a brightness. And I feel like a reverb, too. And when you listen back, when we were growing up, there was always a radio edit of most songs.
Okay.
Which they mixed specifically to sound bigger on the radio. So the radio edit would sound more dynamic than the album version. Because they were mixing it because they know it's going to get played on the air. And it needs to have more dynamic lows and highs.
So that's interesting. So yes, as an engineer, that's not something they cover. That's not something that's intuitive. When you're listening to the radio, you do hear it's different, but you blame it usually on your speakers.
Yeah, it depends on the speakers.
Or your stereo. Sure. You have no idea what's going on on the other side over here that's making that happen. But I get it. It makes sense, because even a song that sounds good on your headphones, like we talk about, sounds different on speakers. And if the speakers are 6 feet apart versus 10 feet apart or 2 inches apart, it makes a huge difference. And that's what's so weird about sound, is that the way it's intended to be, the way it's made and the way it's intended to be listened are completely different, right? Like you're saying, artist had nothing to do with what you're hearing over the radio necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you guys, the radio people, are messing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
true.
Who knows?
Well, that's another point, too. Like, think about, I don't think anybody wrote music with the intention of it being heard on a phone, like through your phone speaker.
True.
Which a lot of people listen to music that way now.
Right.
At least when they're sampling, even like on YouTube or whatever, you're listening through your phone without headphones. But back in the day, I remember, like, my grandmother used to listen to music through her alarm clock radio, which was like a transistor radio, essentially, which sounded like garbage. But mono AM music back in the 60s and 70s, the mono, you didn't have stereo anyway, so right. It didn't sound terrible coming through a little speaker like that.
Right.
But if you had a stereo recording running through that mono, it would sound terrible.
You felt like you got gypped.
You got gypped, yeah. So I guess that's the similarities between the old days and the new days is like the phone listening and maybe the transistor radio. But the phone still sounds better than a transistor radio.
Today. It's amazing, actually.
But there's so many dynamics that you don't hear when you don't listen in headphones, as we are in the studio. And this particular song, the new Shoes song, fills it up. It fills up your headphones
right. With
the sounds, but there's not as much compression as there is on music now. I feel like if that song was made today, it would have the thickest, heaviest beat to it. It would almost be rattling, and it would be too compressed.
With today's production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what a great song.
If you had that coming across a little transistor radio at the beach, you would still feel compelled to dance.
Definitely.
But if you played a different song that was more bass heavy, like, I don't know, like let's say even Housequake from Prince.
Okay.
Like, that's a good dance song.
Yeah, it is.
It's so bassy, though. If you heard that over a transistor radio at the beach, you probably wouldn't feel as compelled to dance.
You'd want to throw your transistor radio into the water.
Yeah, you wouldn't hear any of it.
Destroy the bass, the speaker. So new Shoes coming out of Satin Jacket's Oceanside, by the way. That's a very new release. Just came out last week, actually. That's how quick Willis Trigger Finger was on that song. Actually, it'll be 2 weeks ago Friday that came out. Hasn't even barely gotten into rotation on the station yet because the new music stuff's probably going to start playing today from Tuesday or Monday when I put them in. So anyway, we're going to move along. So this is the headphones song point. We talked about this last week. I don't remember where it came up or how it came up. We're like, let's do a headphones song.
Yeah.
So you chose probably the most technically savvy studio band in the world today, maybe of all time, frankly. You know, Pink Floyd was the original headphone band back in the day. Radiohead is now the new Pink Floyd.
Okay.
That's the best way that I can put this into perspective for older people who don't know Radiohead and for younger people to understand what Pink Floyd was. That's the best because everybody likes them. Even if you don't like rock or alternative, you kind of know Radiohead.
I see.
You know, whether it's like, you know, a druggy thing or whether it's like a weird thing. Like my mom and dad, my sisters would be like, Radiohead's just weird. Like, yeah, they're good, but they're weird.
Yeah, what's going on?
So there's sort of this, everybody knows who they are. Pink Floyd was that group. You had to accept Pink Floyd,
right?
Because they were going to be there, and their albums are still on the charts to this day. They still sell. So you picked a great band, and you chose a song from the iconic album Kid A, which I've told you we burned it down. We burned the whole thing down and started over in 2000 because of that album.
Right.
So give me your thoughts and why you picked it.
So when we talk about headphones, you know, one of the main things that I appreciate a lot is the separation of different using the left and right, but then creating not just left side, right side, but putting something forward, front, left, and kind of making a three-dimensional space. And I don't know how this is completely done, but, you know, I know I've played around with a little bit of software that you can at least pan left and right with certain channels and certain tones. So when you mix it all together, you can put this over here, you can put that over there. Well, this song I first heard, so this was from 2000, Everything in Its Right Place. I heard it first time on a plane flight to Hong Kong, which is a very long flight, like 14 hours. You can watch a couple movies and you get kind of, your eyes get tired. You can't really sleep, or if you can, you're lucky. But once you get through the movies, there's, at the time, back then, they had good radio programs, like programmed by BBC, let's say, hand-curated songs and artists that just were on a loop. And they, at this time, they had this album, Kid A. And I didn't really know Radiohead that well, but the sound that I heard coming through back then, I'm pretty sure it was still that air. The in-flight headset they gave you was still like a tube of air that felt like a stethoscope, and you stuck these little things in your ear.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to plug in, there's like these two little jacks that go into the armrest.
And sometimes it wouldn't work. It would be like one ear wasn't working.
Exactly.
You're right. Okay.
And it's because it was pinched. But basically, the speaker is built into the armrest, and the air is transporting the sound to your ears through these tubes. and it's like a stethoscope. And you would think that sounds terrible, but actually it sounded pretty good.
By the way, people who are listening to this thinking like, I never knew that. What the heck is he talking about? I'm with you, because he understands things that most of us don't.
I observed a lot as a kid, and I did a lot of flights to Hong Kong, so there was not much else to do.
I love to learn these things, by the way. It's just, I'm like, what? Really? There's a tube?
I think even in the 2010s and the maybe early 2015s, you could still find the two holes in the armrest, even though they have the plug for the more modern electronic jack. But then there was a time when they still had the two jacks, but it was two eighth-inch jacks that were mono paired together. Mm-hmm. So there was this whole technology, you know, development curve for in-flight headsets that now I think are almost irrelevant because everyone's got their own.
Yeah, but you still need them sometimes because you don't, most headphones are using the wireless and you can't use those.
So that's true. You need a wired headset.
They walk around with a little bag saying like,
you know. Right.
Anyway.
But anyways, I first heard this song coming through those tubes and it was amazing. It just blew me away. What I heard in left side, right side, and then the song itself is so, I don't know how to describe it. It's moody. It's got a beat, but it's not like a dance.
Beat comes
song.
In and out too. It's okay. Like do do do.
Yeah.
And then it kind of comes up, and you hear it kind of drip away.
Yeah. And lyrically, you know, it sounds kind of repetitive. It's like over and over again, but it's, and then Tom York, his vocals are so haunting, right? Or not haunting, psychologically desperate.
I think they are a bit haunting.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. I get that.
He's just like, I'm going crazy and I don't know why. That's what it feels like.
And even you get the voice where he's like, it does like a little digital.
Yeah.
The voice turns from a real voice to a glitchy computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
So it's something that is best appreciated in headphones, in my opinion.
I have to say all of their music is headphone music. I love to see a band put so much energy and time into every facet of songwriting and music. And Radiohead does that. They don't cut corners. Everything has a meaning and a purpose. And in this song is a great example. There's so much glitchy technology in it, but it's still a band playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured out that very broad space between like very digital technology. Technology type approach to the analog approach and marry them perfectly. So I think this song, not my favorite Radiohead song. The version I play on Hi-Fi Dream has like a consistent beat. It's a remix version of it.
Oh, okay.
But the original version I think is better, but I think the remix one kind of jumps through the radio better.
Sure.
One of their more popular songs from their most popular, I mean, OK Computer is up and above everything else. And then In Rainbows is like kind of considered the other classic. But this is the album that sort of changed the direction of everything.
Yeah.
So it's recognized as the new millennium's masterpiece, you know. Mm. It came out right at the turn of the millennium.
Right.
And this is the first song on the album. It kind of introduced this new sound from more of a rock band to more of like a experimental band, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just brilliance and
historic.
I love Kid A and I hate it at the same time because I felt like it was such a challenge for me and everything I did musically after that.
It set the bar.
And there was songs on here I didn't love that other Radiohead fans love. I liked Amnesiac, which was the companion album, came right after it.
Yeah.
They really are two, they were the same sessions, they just split up into two albums.
Okay.
And I like Amnesiac slightly better than this album. But there's no denying the importance of this album, and I think maybe my nonconformist ways is like, this can't be my favorite Radiohead album, like it's everybody. So, yeah, so that's sort of my thought process here, but that doesn't take away from this being a dynamic masterpiece of a song.
Well, I'm really glad that we kind of made the space for this song in the show, and you know, the fourth song, my fourth pick of the show is usually like the pivotal, like the
climax.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
We build up to this.
Let me ask you. So, do you know what movie this was in? Do you remember what movie this was featured in?
No.
A very good movie, very trippy movie, but great soundtrack. Vanilla Sky.
Oh, sure.
Featured this song.
That was trippy.
And I think it was early in the movie, too.
Okay.
But there's a key, like, I remember being like, the most of the song is played. There's also so many great tracks. One of the best soundtracks of the early 2000s. So anyway, I'm going to play the Radiohead. Then my so these are my two favorite groups back to back. I picked another song for the headphone song and didn't realize I did that it was that spot in the show. So I had to go back. And we've spoken about this Cure song from my favorite album of theirs, Wish, which was 92. And this was meaningful in my life. That's why it's my favorite album by them. It was, you know, 17 years old, 16, 17, going through some things with girls for the first time, you know, like emotions that you didn't feel when you were 13 or 12.
Yeah.
You're starting to feel now, going through your changes in life. And this album came out and it was just like, forget it. It was my diary record. It's sometimes uncomfortable for me to listen back to this album.
Ah.
This song is even hard for me to listen to and enjoy because I immediately am embarrassed for what I was thinking at those times and what I was feeling at those times as a weird teenager.
Hmm.
So, but I want to point out, it's a headphone record. We're going to listen to this fresh because you were pointing out some things I won't need to go and we'll talk when we come back about it. But, the key thing in this to make it a headphone song is I hear, as the song goes on, Robert Smith in the chorus where he's singing, how do we get this far apart? We used to be so close together.
Yeah.
You'll start to hear a whisper track, a loud vocal that's wet set way back in the background, a monotone kind of version that's sort of up front, a regular melodic version.
Yeah.
Then there's like, I believe there's 10 to 12 Robert Smiths that come in, maybe more.
Because you and a friend have already broken this
down. We would sit and listen in headphones and figure it out. Like how many voices are there in this song?
Yeah.
But it doesn't hit until probably the second chorus. And then from that point forth, even in the verses, you'll start hearing a whisper track coming out of one ear. It's very bizarre and trippy. But the song, man, it'll get your emotional side revved up.
Awesome.
Because it is a sad-ass song.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's bring it.
Thank you. I'll never leave.
Take a breath, man.
Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive. So I'm going to start by saying, well, first of all, that was The Cure, a part from the album Wish. I am so jealous of you right now.
Me?
Because you just got to listen to that song for the first, well, you know, true. You're only hearing it now, what, the third, fourth, fifth time?
That's right.
That's this true. Is a new song to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that what I felt listening to this for the first time and second and third and fourth and whatever back in the day, because it was over and over again.
Yeah.
I remember being like, it was sad and it was emotional, but just remembering how blown away I was at all of this. This feeling that I get even listening to it now, I'm like, God, you get to experience this song as if it's new to you.
That's a good point.
I wish I could go listen to that for the first time again and just kind of capture my feelings.
I get it, yeah.
I know what I felt, but damn, that's such a cool thought.
The first time you feel something, a reaction to art like that, especially performance art, it is a memorable for you, and you want to go back to that. I get what you're saying, and I did feel that. We listened to this song twice, two different ways, actually.
Yeah.
We listened
to... Which was cool.
The original album version from 1992. And then we followed it with we listened again to the 2022 remaster. And there is a difference.
Yeah, no doubt.
When you first picked this song as the headphone song, I listened to the original version. I thought, well, why did you pick this? It's not very headphone-y. I mean, it sounds good. I mean, it's a deep, sad, meaningful song, and it's very introspective. And when I listen to it today, the original version, I think I felt as sad as he did, and so the production on that is very center oriented. So there's not a ton of separation, but the song itself has all these layers. But the words and the lyrics hitting me felt inside me, like what I'm saying is centered in me. Uh-huh. Made me think about it and feel the words and feel the sadness. And then when we listen to the remaster, it's more spacious and more separation. And actually, it's a different feeling. It's sad, but also confusing, because all this stuff is swimming around your head in the remaster, and you feel a little lost.
I agree.
And so I think it's affecting different ways.
You know, that's a great point. It's awesome to hear a different perspective on something that I'm so familiar with, it because it's been, you know, 30 years, I would say that's been my favorite album. You know what I mean? Like, and people ask me what's my favorite album of all time, I will say Wish, because of how important it was to me.
Right.
I think OK Computer is a better album musically, but there was such an important part of my life and my growth and who I am now. So it's such, when it came out and reissued on vinyl, I sat there listening to it like it was the first time. I felt it like it was the first time. There's other songs on this album. Trust is just as sad. To Wish Impossible Things, maybe the saddest song he's ever written. But this came after Disintegration, which is also a sad, dark record. But there's also a lot of like heavier, faster, like Fascination Street, not such a sad song.
Yeah, and these hooks.
Pictures of You is like a ballad, love song-ish kind of thing. Love Song is a love song.
Right.
So there was more of an emotional disparity between the tracks, whereas on this album, it's pretty all in dark except for three songs. Mm. High, Friday I'm in Love, and Wendy Time. Those songs are kind of not sad. But there's so much sadness in this song that you're almost like forced into this position. And I've mentioned to you, he's singing in the verses, he waits for her to understand, but she won't understand. She waits to hear him say, I love you. He'll never, you know what I mean? So, and then the chorus comes and he's like, how did we get
different
this
perspective,
far apart?
Yeah.
But we could all relate to that. That's, I think, what makes it so sad and tragic. Whether it's a relationship you're in with a partner, loved one, how do we get this far apart? We used to be so close together. And then there's with a friendship, right? Like how many friends you sort of at some way along the path you kind of drop
disconnect,
off.
Yeah.
So there's this sentimental value to it. But it's so powerful for me, that song. It's hard for me to sit. We listened to it twice and I was fully in it, but it's hard for me to listen to it without falling back into that.
Yeah.
Almost depression.
Oh, man.
You know, not, I don't think teenage depression is the same.
Right.
Because you think everything's so bad, and it's really more dramatic.
Angst.
Yeah, I was like melodramatic. But at that time, it was important, you know, and it felt felt real.
It was your whole world.
But now I'm like, oh, dude, you need to wake the hell up. You're being a wimp. Like, dude. But anyway, I'm so glad we got to enjoy that together, but I got to witness you hearing it in your first three or four times.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times it was leading into that, but...
Were my ears smoking? Was I...
No, but you were in it, and I loved that you were in it.
Yeah, it was cool.
And that was coming out of Radiohead and Everything in Its Right Place. What a set. That doesn't get any better when it comes to those two artists together. So we're going to drastically switch gears. But this is important because this is... you know, you picked Kay Trinata here.
Yeah.
Great electronic artist that actually dabbles in R&B, does it perfectly here with this track. But the vocalist happens to be the vocalist of my choice.
That's really cool.
And happens to be my favorite. When R&B went away from me and I couldn't listen to it for about 10 years because it was so bad, the internet was the only one that was like the saving grace because I love soul music and they captured what I love about R&B. So let's talk about this as we close it out.
So You're the One, and it's in all caps. I don't know if that's on purpose or not, but even the band name Kay Trinata is all caps. But this is featuring Syd, S-Y-D, from 20...
Syd the Kid, baby.
Is that the...
Yeah, that's her name.
Okay, Syd the Kid from 2016. Very dreamy, housey, R&B pop is what I want to call it. And I heard some other tracks from Kay Trinata. This one's the more dreamy, I think.
He's definitely on the more disco house side.
Yeah, exactly. And so I wanted to end the show, as I like to, on something more upbeat. And usually, you know, if we played something really powerful in the fourth song, like the power song of the show, I want to reel it back in a little bit, back into the...
Did good on
the,
that.
Hi-fi dream vibe. So I think this is a good vibey song.
Sure. And it's a great... I mean, again, we play this on Hi-fi dream regularly, regular rotation. For a recurrent, because it came out in 16. But this definitely, I like this sound, this R&B sound that has enough tempo to be almost like a lighthouse song.
Yeah.
That this is one of those, what do you call that? Hybrid sort of R&B house.
Mm-hmm.
He does it very well. There's a great Boiler Room episode of him, Kay Trinata, spinning that's got a whole Reddit subreddit dedicated to this one performance on the Boiler Room because of the characters around him. I think it's in Germany.
Huh.
And it's the weirdest, funniest thing you'll ever see because there's like a whole plot of things going on around him while he's spinning and they're almost in his way while, because have you ever seen Boiler Room performances?
No.
The fans are right around the DJ. Like they're all on the floor. He's in the middle of the floor.
Got it.
Playing DJing. So the people that are around him become sort of characters.
I see.
One day you need to watch that because we could have a whole dissertation on that.
All right.
But this is a great song. I love this track. And Syd, as a vocalist, is... And are you familiar with the internet? Have you heard of Odd Future?
No.
So Odd Future is a collective from LA of all these different hip-hop and R&B artists. Mm-hmm. So Tyler, the Creator, is the most famous of the lot. Frank Ocean, another famous member of Odd Future. What was it? I mean, there's so many.
These are all new things to me.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, Odd Future is like sort of like Wu-Tang Clan for the West Coast and this generation.
Okay.
Because there's all these projects came out of Odd Future.
Okay.
But the R&B stuff was focused on the internet and Frank Ocean, who was very popular, as you probably know.
Okay.
So you got in Earl Sweatshirt. Have you heard of Earl Sweatshirt?
Nope.
Great rapper. Hmm. Syd the Kid, singer of this group. Tyler, the Creator. L-Boy, Frank Ocean.
Hmm.
Who am I forgetting here? Mike G, Left Brain. They went on to create all these different... Matt Martians is a group that's there now. Earl Sweatshirt. Travis Bennett. Anyway, they...
It's like you're speaking a different language right now.
Several members of these guys I'm mentioning were in the internet, and this was their R&B project, and it was very focused on like old 70s R&B, like guitars, piano, not like program beats.
Okay.
So they're a band that... And they all ended up going into their own direction and doing their own music very well at that. So they haven't put out a record now in probably, I don't know, 8 years or so.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll regroup to do something because they were so good, and before their time, unfortunately, they didn't get super popular except for one song called Girl, which I think Kay Trinata is featured on, if I'm not mistaken. But Girl wound up getting to the radio, so there was maybe one or two songs that did. However, this song, Red Balloon, is jazzy,
yeah,
psychedelic feeling, awesome. Sunday morning music.
Love it.
So I'm excited to listen to these two with you.
Same.
Kate Renata, Into the Internet, and great show today.
That wraps it up, yeah.
So next week, we're going to run a repeat.
Yes.
On the show. So we're going to run the episode we did with Jeff, your buddy Jeff.
Cool.
My buddy Jeff, too.
All right.
And that'll be for next week's show, yep. And then back to normal.
We'll be back right in now. It after that.
Great work today, brother.
Same to you, Greg.
So let's do Kate Renata, You're the One. Then the Internet, Red Balloon. Everybody enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Next time. I want you to want me, but you just wanna love me for the day. And I can't just walk away, even though I know you're trouble, babe. So I will take my time, going slow, can't get too involved. You got a face that I just can't say no to, just can't say no to you. You know I want you, baby, you know I do. I'll give you my heart and the rest is up to you. You ain't no good for me, I know it's true. But you don't have to pay, cause I do it for the thrill, for the rush, I do it for the pain. Well, I only when it's too much. If I survive, maybe you're the one. You're the one.
Songs and artists that inspired generations of musicians. It's the Hi-Fi Dream Deep Dive.